everyone, and welcome to the 13 Club podcast. Just a little introductory note for some of our older episodes is that we used to be the Pretty Spooky podcast, but changed it due to similarity issues with another podcast. You do not need to start with episode one. You can always start with one of our newer episodes, but we do appreciate you going through the old ones as well. Welcome back to episode two of the Pretty Spooky podcast postmortem. In postmortem, we discuss topics that were too big to fit into our regular episode, or just extras that related to the topics of that episode. Okay, guys, we are back, and today we are discussing extra stuff that we couldn't fit into episode two.
Yes. So, I will start. I wanted to touch briefly on Ben Drowned, because I mentioned it a lot in my Petscop video, or the Petscop video episode, about how many things referenced Ben Drowned in order to, like, make a frame of reference for Petscop. Mm-hmm. And while I was thinking about it, it occurred to me that, like, while Ben Drowned seems, like, super obvious to us, like, we've been around for a while and we are familiar with the story, it occurred to me that there may be some people out there who don't know what Ben Drowned is. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to briefly go over it. Again, this is a creepypasta that's been around since, I believe, 2003 or 2004. I'm sorry. God, not even. It's been around since 2010. I don't know why I thought it was that old. I know why I thought it was that old. I thought it was that old because the thing I'm researching for next episode was that old. But no, it's been around since 2010. It started on 4chan. And basically, Ben Drowned is about a haunted Majora's Mask cartridge.
Right.
So the person who you are following posts on the, I think, paranormal subreddit. Yeah, and he is like, I found this thing. I don't normally believe in this stuff, but weird stuff is happening with my game. Goes on to write, which is the text of the creepypasta, like what his experiences were while playing, and he creates four or five different videos that show, you know, his haunted gameplay. Some of the things that happen are like weird, creepy sounds and audio that doesn't belong in the game. A lot of things are like broken, like textures and environments. They don't work or look like they should.
Characters appearing where they should not be.
Yeah,
characters where they should be. Boss battles being where they should not be. And like impossible mm-hmm. boss battles and scary ones at that.
Yeah, that the Skull Kid, I remember, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And the Skull Kid boss battle, like, the Skull Kid actually is able to, like, fight, mm-hmm. and he shouldn't mm-hmm. be able to. Just right. Things like that. The whole game is made to be far more dangerous and scary for your playable character, and by extension for the guy who's playing the game. I can't pronounce it. I think his username is meant to be Jada Sable. And I read that it's like a portmanteau of Judas and Abel.
Oh, I thought it was like
from the Bible.
Jad usable.
It might be Jad usable. He's very, very usable, Jad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means, but maybe JAD stands for something.
Maybe. Know. Well, Judas Abel, or however you say his name, Jad usable. After a certain amount of time, he pieces out. He kind of abandons the cartridge.
Not to, like, interrupt you, but how did he get the cartridge?
I was getting to that. Well,
okay,
I was going to loop back around
to
that.
I'm always like, tell me more about the thing. Shut up and tell me.
You're good. No, I'm going to tell you, and you can stop me if you wanted to. what I was going to get at is he kind of loops back around, or he leaves. He's in college, and he leaves his college roommate with kind of instructions and a rundown of what he has been through, which includes that how he found the cartridge, where he found it. He picked it up at a yard sale that he swung by. There was kind of a creepy old man who gave it to him for a good price. It looked like maybe a bootleg cartridge or something. So, you know,
it's just like the gray Nintendo 64 cartridge, but it just says Majora's Mask and like Sharpie on it.
It says, it doesn't say Ben on it in Sharpie as well.
Maybe it just says
Majora's Mask.
That's what it was.
That's what. And then the save file that was already on it was named Ben.
Yeah.
And he tries to play it. Weird stuff happens. He decides to go back and try and find the guy that he bought it from, and the house now has like a for sale sign. So he's like, that's strange. But he continues to play, and you get little bits of it here and there from what he writes and from the videos he puts out. And then at the end, when you're kind of going through the narration of the roommate, there's this like long text document that Jada Sable has written that documents that like he believes that Ben or whatever Ben is has been tampering with his computer. One of the characters from the game has been like popping up like on his computer where it shouldn't be, like in the corners of the internet, like in, you know, in the corner of your screen or something, like right here, you know, just hanging out like right here. He at one point starts a conversation with it on Cleverbot.
Yeah.
And it indicates that
Cleverbot.
Yeah. You know, Cleverbot.
Maybe some people don't know, but Cleverbot
Post-mortem episode on what is Cleverbot.
But it's just like a thing where you could just type to a computer and then it would like answer you with its like own smart algorithm. And
well, in this, he was able to have a conversation with whatever Ben is. And at first it kind of lends you to believe that maybe it's a ghost. There's this whole Ben drowned, the idea that Ben drowned, and there are certain, if you, you know, get in the water in the game, like you will always drown and things like that. Even when you shouldn't. But it seems sort of the more you get into that, maybe Ben isn't just this ghost of a kid that drowned. There's sort of like a more evil entity maybe at play here that is really toying with him, tormenting him, really enjoys it, and is somehow trapped inside this cartridge and longs to be free. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it was manipulating this guy by playing it in the hopes of escaping. And the guy kind of wraps it up by saying, like, after a certain point in time, like, you know, I have something that's set to post. My friend is going to post it for me. But after that is posted, don't trust anything that's been put up on my YouTube account. Don't trust anything that's been associated with me, because it might not have been me. It might be Ben. He might be out. He might be loose. Don't download this video anywhere. Like, if you see it, just don't download it. I don't know how it spreads. I can't risk that.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the way it ends up, he more or less kind of disappears. You know, his roommate says that he's gone home to rest and recuperate due to, like, stress.
But the way that it got onto his computer was by using the capture card in order to capture the gameplay.
Yes. I did forget that. I'm actually glad you reminded me of that because I would not have remembered. But that is how it got onto the computer. Mm-hmm. So that is the long and short of Ben Drowned, Haunted Majora's Mask. There is a ton of fan fiction out there.
Fan art.
I think
Ben Drowned videos.
Mm-hmm. There was, I believe he tried to do, the guy who created it attempted to do a follow-up project that was like a fake cult called like Moon Children, about the Moon Children, but it was abandoned. The most interesting new news that I could find about it, and I didn't get a whole lot of details, but I guess maybe a year or two ago, there was a girl who was young and spent a lot of time on the internet, clearly. And like, you know, a lot of folks do at that age. She was really struggling with depression and all the things that come along with that. And she met someone online that claimed to be the real Ben Drowned. She fell in love with him and then she killed herself to be with him. And what I read was an interview that I believe maybe IO9 or Kotaku had with a guy that actually created the whole Ben Drowned thing. And they were talking to him. They asked him how he felt about this. Like, you know, do you feel any responsibility for this girl's death? And he, you know, the guy said, you know, if it hadn't been my thing, it would have been anything else. You know, look at those two girls who used the Slender Man thing to like stab their friend. Like, if it hadn't been drowned, it would have been another creepypasta, or it would have been a movie, or it would have been a TV show. So, I can't hold myself accountable for that because I would just, you know, that would break my heart.
Yeah, that's not his fault.
It's a tragedy. Like, it sucks, obviously. And I feel bad that this thing has, you know, done, that this has happened. But, like, at a certain point, something like that, a creation like that is out of your hands. Absolutely. Particularly when it's just something that you put out there on the internet with, you know.
Actually, I feel like for another episode, the Slender Man murders might be a great topic.
Yeah, for sure. I know there was a documentary that came out about that a year ago. I haven't seen it, though. I don't know about you.
They talked about it on My Favorite Murder, which is our podcast. Oh, really?
Yep.
I mean, everyone's right.
Right?
They're the best. But they talked about it, and I believe that one of them watched it and the other one didn't. I think Georgia watched it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I remember that. I think I did. They talked about it. I don't think they made it the focus of an episode.
They did not.
But if they did, I haven't gotten there yet. But you're right. Maybe that's where I heard about it.
Well, yeah. So
I mean, I knew it was coming out, but I think I didn't realize it was already out until I heard them saying that.
Might make a good episode or a topic for an episode.
Put a pin in it.
Yep. So that's Bend Round. I think it's worth noting that this was during a time where like creepypastas were not as abundant as they are now. And no. It was kind of like a new thing. And this was so huge. Like everybody, it was posted on 4chan, but like it didn't matter if you were on 4chan or not. It made the rounds literally everywhere. And I think I found out about it on Tumblr.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then there was like some other ones that were really, really popular. But I feel like this was one of the better quality ones from that era.
It's very much a hallmark of like the beginnings of creepypasta. I think this existing and being so successful like allowed people to come out and do more things similar to this. It really inspired a lot of people to get creative and do stuff on their own as well.
There were others. I feel like I might be wrong about this, but like wasn't like Jeff the Killer and stuff, didn't they come out first?
I think they did, probably.
But they're pieces of crap. Like, sorry if you're a fan, but, like, that's horribly written. And that's the difference with Bend Round, why it got so popular, is that it was well-written. It had multi-tiers of content. And then the videos that he created by manipulating the assets of the actual Majora's Mask were really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess Petscop definitely has that vibe, whether the creator of Petscop was at all inspired by that or not.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like spiritual successor is not the right word, I don't think, but I'm gonna say it anyway. It's a spiritual successor of a kind.
I feel like to Bend Round.
I feel like every time I use that phrase, I'm not using it right, and I'm always aware someone's gonna yell at me.
Like, whenever I think, for some reason, like, the only thing I think of whenever someone says spiritual successor, it's like, Bioshock is the successor to System Shock.
Literally, same. Oh, my God. Yes, that's exactly the same thing I always think of. I hear the word
spiritual successor, and then I'm just like, Bioshock, System Shock. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No.
What the hell?
So
I guess I'll move on to, unless there's anything else you want to say about Bend Round.
Just for a second, I just want to say, if you are at all interested in it, it is super accessible and easy to find. The original videos and all of the original text have been archived on the Creepypasta Wiki, which is probably the easiest place to find it. It's all super streamlined and easy.
We'll post a link to it on ominousglitch.com as well.
Yes. So it's out there, super accessible, super easy to find. I encourage you to check it out if you have not done so already. And that's all for Bend Round.
Okay, so I have two things.
Ooh.
They're, you know, somewhat small, but I don't know if I should put this here. I don't know if I should put this here or if I should put this, like, if I should say it at the beginning of the regular episode, but I...
it's too late now. You already started.
All right, well, I could edit it out, but
okay.
You can tell me if you think I should put it in episode 3 or if I should just say it now. But okay. Since we're covering stuff we talked about in episode 2, I made a mistake in what I said in episode 2. I said there was a 1904 bus crash. It was not a bus, it was a train. Holy crap, there were no buses then.
I think you should put it in this episode. You can make it your little corrections corner.
Please, please don't judge me for that. It was so dumb, I'm so sorry.
No, it's like the part where you said that they refer to them as convicts, and then they refer to them as mental patients, and then they refer to them as like,
yeah, but you know, blah 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 blah. Bus back then.
They would have been on like a cart full of inmates, a horse-drawn buggy full of crazy people, shackled and manacled. The content of the whole myth is so inconsistent. Well, and also, it slid right through.
If a train is crashed on the railroad, how is another train going to come by and hit somebody and then just disappear into the night?
Ghost train. I don't know. I don't know. That's the only way.
I don't know. Okay, so this is kind of funny, but it's the things I wanted to follow up with was at least one more Skinwalker story, mm-hmm. since we talk so much about Skinwalkers. And there's a subreddit called Skinwalkers, and the first top post is a Jeet Pie is secretly a Skinwalker, and that is trying to end neutrality so less people would have access to r/Skinwalkers.
I mean, they might be right. That sounds legit to me. I can fully believe that.
They're totally right.
We'll get them.
So I have two Skinwalker stories. Hopefully I can find the first one again, but I definitely can find this one.
Sure, sure.
So this was posted by Madam Fizzgig 3 years ago in the Skinwalker subreddit.
Okay.
It says, background, I am a female, and this occurred 2 years ago when I was 18. This takes place in Maine. Every summer, my family and I go up to Dedham, Ellsworth, Maine, and it's about a 3-hour drive from my house. The camp itself is about an hour from the nearest town. I've been going to this camp my entire life. My family owns it, and I've never had an incident like this happen before. I was watching TV in the middle of the night. Both my brothers and my parents had gone to bed. I heard a noise coming from the kitchen, and I realized that the dogs needed to go outside to do their business. So I took my brother's 2-pit bulls and my Affin pincher. I don't know what that is, but it says tiny dog in parentheses. Outside after turning on the porch light. I walked around to the front yard, and I let the dogs off the leash. It's so incredibly dark in the woods in Maine that the porch light really only illuminated the porch and nothing else, so I tried to keep an eye on them. I was momentarily distracted when I saw a loon, which is a wild bird, on the lake. When I look back, I saw the pit bulls were both looking at something in the woods. That scares the shit out of me when my dogs, I feel like, see something that I don't see.
I feel that
in my parents' house all the time, and I know that their house is haunted, but that's a story for another time.
I feel that way about the cats.
Yeah.
Okay. I do.
My cat was involved in some of those scary times where they definitely saw something I did not in my parents' house.
Oh, no.
I couldn't see what it was, but I assumed they'd seen a squirrel or a raccoon. It was then that I realized I couldn't see Alfie anywhere. She's an awfully small dog, and she's completely black. I called for her a few times and heard some soft whimpering right where the dogs had been looking earlier. I took a couple steps in that direction, and I called for her again, worried that she may have gotten her paw stuck between some rocks or gotten stuck in a snake hole. Suddenly, I felt something moving behind me. I whipped around and looked down. It was Alfie. She'd been staying close to me the whole time. I just hadn't seen her. So naturally, I was thinking, if Alfie is here, what the fuck is in the woods? I took another step forward, and the pit bulls began to growl. They were slowly advancing and were now on the other side of me, or on either side of me, looking right into the blackness in the woods. I quickly picked up Alfie and began to back up very slowly. I'm not sure what I thought was there, but there were lots of animals in Maine, and I figured the dogs knew better than I did, since I couldn't see anything. Right as I turned around, I heard the most absolutely bone-chilling thing that I have ever heard in my life. Coming from the direction of the woods, I heard someone call Alfie's name. It sounded almost as if it were trying to mimic me, but it was just all wrong. The voice sounded really distorted and almost seemed to wail.
I have chills. Chills right now. Oh, my God.
I freaked the fuck out and ran inside with the dogs. I have no idea what was out in the woods. My camp is essentially a log cabin overlooking a lake, and our nearest neighbor, who is also family, lives at least 1/2 mile in the opposite direction of where the thing was.
I don't like that.
I know, right?
What would the... Do you think... Okay, so Skinwalker, do you think it was trying to get the dog? Because, it's obviously calling to the dog, but...
It could be calling to the dog, and it also could be calling for her. But, yeah, I would say it's probably the dog.
I don't know.
Because I probably wouldn't want her to hear that, because then she would get what the fuck, and take the dog away.
Yeah, but what would they do once they had the dog? Would they eat it?
Probably. That's my assumption. Sacrifice it? I don't know.
I don't know either. I just
tell us, you guys, what would a skinwalker do with the dog?
I guess I just hear pit bull and I think, okay, those are bigger dogs. Like if they're going to eat it, that's more food, right? Than just like a small dog. My initial thought was kind of going back to her not seeing where her dog was at first. It made me wonder if like the skinwalker is trying to lure the dog away so it can take its place and get close to her, since they look like animals, right?
Yeah. Ugh, there you go. You know better than me.
I'm the official expert now. I took your expert title away.
You took my crown. So I have another one. Shouldn't take that long. And then I have a quick goat man from Maryland.
Goatman.
All right. So this is, I liked this story because it had a little bit of background. But this person is named a boy named Pseudonym, and they posted 2 years ago. I'm not sure where. Oh, no sleep. So it might not be real, but none of this might not be real. Remember what Rainbot says. He'll be an asshole. It says, I'm Navajo, and boy, have I heard a lot of stories growing up on the reservation. While I've never seen anything myself, which I'm grateful for, I've benefited by being around people who have. There's a different kind of evil that exists in the quiet high deserts and deep sandstone canyons of Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and even Colorado, in this southern Ute area. I can only describe it as ancient evil now. There are helpful ceremonies, rituals, and traditions that are still practiced to this day. Hell, even a local hospital has an on-duty medicine man, but it seems to be a double-edged sword. What I mean here is that there is also black magic, which most Navajo will not even acknowledge or speak of. We are very superstitious and are heavy with taboos. You will find this with most First Nation people. From Alaska to Argentina, it's just something that you don't do in fear that it will get the attention of the unwanted spirits or harmful beings. Skinwalkers or Naldalushi? I didn't want to say it last time. I said I wasn't going to try it, but...
And then you tried.
It's Naaldlooshii.
I have no clue.
There are just a few stories that kept me up at night with the covers over my head, and here's a quick one for you guys.
Sure.
A Navajo tribal police officer was driving west on what used to be officially named Highway 666. It was lightly snowing, maybe a quarter of an inch, which is a lot of snow for home, and he sees an old woman walking on the side of the road. How she got there or where she was going was not apparent because she was so far out in the middle of nowhere. He didn't see her right away, but as she passes, he noticed that she's dressed in traditional clothing, a shawl, dress, moccasins, and her hair in a traditional bun. This isn't too odd, as many elders still choose to dress traditionally, but why was she out in such cold weather this late at night? Hitchhiking, maybe? He passed her too quickly and now has to turn around, and as he makes a U-turn, he notices that she's nowhere to be seen. This is fairly flat terrain, and he has for sure seen an old woman walking. He pulls the squad car over and steps out with his flashlight. Confused, he manages to find a woman's footprints in the shallow snow. He follows the footprints until they suddenly turn into what looks like a dog footprints, or dog footprints, leading away from the road in a hurry. He immediately jumps back to the squad car and meets up with another officer near his patrol. He's a little shaken up, but asks the other officer if he has ever seen something like that, and the officer tells him that he has. He has also explained that sometimes it's an old woman, sometimes it's a very beautiful young girl, but always on that road and always in the snow, waiting for some good Samaritan to let her into their car. I still get nervous and driving in those wide open spaces at night. I keep my eyes strictly on the road and turn my music up high. I rarely pick up hitchhikers, but I never pick them up at night.
That's really interesting. I like that one. That's a good one.
I like that it had like a little bit of background.
Yeah.
So, yeah, skinwalkers, I like the first story. This first story creeps me out.
Yeah, for sure. Being like, for real. Being a
dog mom myself. But I think in general, there are so many stories out there, and there's a lot of different, like, urban legends. And if you search skinwalkers, there's a whole subreddit for it, and there's also, like, books on it. It's just, it's a huge topic, and it's really interesting.
Thank you for sharing those two stories with us.
You're welcome.
What's your goat man thing?
My last thing is just I didn't know, I had never heard of the goat man of Maryland. So, according to urban legend, the goat man is an axe wielding half animal, half man creature that was once a scientist who worked in the Bettsville Beltsville Agriculture Research Center. The tale holds that he was experimenting on goats until one experiment backfired, and he was mutated, becoming a goat man himself. He began attacking cars with an axe, roaming the backwoods of Beltsville, Maryland. A variation Beltsville. Of the legend. Yeah, Beltsville.
That's close.
A variation of the legend tells of a goat man who as an old hermit who lives in the woods, seen walking alone along Fletchertown Road. Another variation has the goat man was the result of the very early DNA experiment conducted by a scientist named Stephen Felcher, though other variations suggest a more supernatural origin involving the devil.
The devil, yeah. The devil. That's the easy one.
According to University of Maryland folklorist Barry Pearson, the Goatman legends began long, long, long ago and were further popularized in 1971, which is kind of like when the Bunny Man kind of picked up steam, mm-hmm. when the death of a dog was blamed on a Goatman by local residents. Pearson says bored teenagers keep the Goatman legend alive by repeating the story and suggesting that the creature attacks couples frequenting local lovers' lane.
He's the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah. Subsequently stirring interest in sites like Fletchertown Road.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was doing a quick Google search on Bunnyman Bridge today, and I was trying to, like, Google reverse image search a picture of the bridge. Mm-hmm. And, Google showed, it does the thing where it's like, there's only one size of this image. Here it is. You found it. Here are some related images. And all the related images were for, like, something else from, like, Arizona or New Mexico, somewhere in the Southwest. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. But off the top of my head, I can't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. Well, now we got to make a follow-up episode.
We got to look it up. Yeah. Or just give it a new episode on its own if it's any good.
Yeah, that's true.
So
you might hear about that later.
Whatever the fuck it is, I don't even remember.
Non-committal shrug.
Yeah. All right.
So I mean, that was a short one, but we wrapped it up.
Yep. This has been the post-mortem. Thank you guys for joining us.
Two.
Yep. We'll see you next time and join us for full episode 3 coming out the following Monday from when this airs. So.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.